For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Soul, cause hip-hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or ice and gold. She want a whole lot of sun to fold. If you were obstacle, she just drive you cold. Cause one monkey don't stop the show. Little Mary's bad. In these streets she done ran ever since when the heat began. I told a girl, look here, calm down, I'ma hold your hand to enable you to peep the plan. Cause you was quick to learn, and we can make money to burn. If you allow me to lay this game, I don't ask for much, but enough room to spread my wing. And the world finna know my name.
I don't
Questlove, drummer for the legendary hip-hop band The Roots. We're recording this on Wednesday, January 20th, Inauguration Day, and it happens to be his birthday. So we wanted to show him a little bit of love. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads you shall. We ask, we implore of you, we insist upon you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chairshot t-shirt, because we have something for everybody. We've got hashtag journalism, save tag team wrestling, my personal fave, G's did the job, and many, many other cool designs. We're recording this again on January 20th, Inauguration Day. If you want to still support the now-defunct Platt Blast 2020 presidential campaign, we got that t-shirt for you as well. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. It is inauguration weekend. If you type in the promo code President or Biden, you might get something off. I'm not guaranteeing it, but what can it hurt? prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you, thank you, and please... I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by the very sheepy Andrew Belaz and the commissioner, Mr. PC Tunney.
Hi, everybody. I'm sheepy now. Bye-bye. Good night.
What happened? That took like all of, what, 45 seconds?
You no. Talking about me?
No, I'm talking about Andrew. Is that what she said?
Oh.
Yeah, you spat that out way too quick. You've obviously heard that before.
In all honesty, I have not.
Hey, whether it's 45 minutes or 45 seconds, you still got some ass, so shout out to you for that. Now, I do have to bring up the fact that Andrew Belaz has a picture of former President Warren G. Harding on his wall behind us. I'm trying to ask, what the hell is that about? What is going on? Why do you have Warren on your wall, sir?
It's not Warren G. Harding. It's not. It's not Warren Beatty either. Okay, this is what happens when AJ touches the computer too much and he changes the angle that the camera is now hitting. So now you get to see the antiquated-ass fucking high school graduation photo of me, myself. That works. There we go.
That was straight edge. That was straight edge, Belaz. Like, yeah, I'm not drinking beer. Off the
street. I'm not drinking beer. Handy with the steel, I got my Jaeger. I got my Jaeger. That's good time. Regulators! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon.
Warren G was on the streets. Wrong. Sorry, wrong Warren G, my bad.
Warren G. Yeah, that wasn't Warren Beatty, that was Warren G.
Got it. But, I'm sorry.
Anytime you can play some Nate Dogg, I'm not mad. So.
I thought that was Warren G. I thought that was Harding Regulators. That was my bad.
Yeah, Andrew missed the joke, but I laughed. That was funny. Well, he played Warren G. We talked about Warren G on your wall. He played Warren G.
Stop it. Stop it.
You can't stop it. It already happened.
So what happened after? So just to try to paint a picture for you guys. So Andrew is on the wall, clean shaven, in a tuxedo, taking his high school graduation pictures.
Your pictures don't act like it's different everywhere else.
I didn't get done with my pictures there. So shortly after that picture, Mr. Belaz had his first beer, and became the degenerate that you love to hate. That is on this show with us today.
Speaking of, I gotta have a beer. I don't even care anymore.
You should have used like your fucking what the hell, like the Unsolved Mysteries voice, and be like, as you can see, back in high school, he was a clean-shaven, upstanding citizen. Then he was introduced to marijuana, or beer, or ecstasy, or Molly, as some kids call it. And then this is why we get to the person. You know now, Unsolved Mysteries.
And it was shortly after that picture that Belaz first descended into the realms of degeneracy. Was that all right?
I liked it. Not bad.
Appreciate you. All right, you want to get to topic one, or do you want me to keep dissecting your picture? Because I could do that for the next 60 minutes.
That's the show. Plant dissects the photo. Some people dissect a frog in science class. Plant just goes hard on pictures on your wall.
I purposely didn't go to school that day because I was not here for. Because we did a worm, so I was there for the worm. We did the frog and we did the cat, and I purposely skipped both of those days because I had no interest in dissecting a frog nor a cat.
Did you say a cat?
I said a cat, yes.
I had to do a fetal pig.
C-A-T.
Yeah. Fetal pig.
AP
yeah,
for advanced biology.
Did you have, just an overrun of, stray cats in your neighborhood, so they decided that was just going to be part of class now?
That sounds racist, but no. But that sounds racist, so fuck you for that. I'm not sure. It just hit my ears wrong. You know what I mean? It's just my spidey senses tingle, man.
I think he converted to Judaism for the jokes.
Obviously, only pick low income minority neighborhoods. I forgot. Thank you. Welcome to another edition of Chris Platt Informs the World.
I grew up middle class, you son of a bitch.
I didn't say the ghetto. I just said majority neighborhoods. That's what I said.
On that note.
Because I don't know where the fuck we're going anymore.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen, it is official. We're heading back to Raymond James Stadium, and we're going to have some fans, apparently, is the announcement. Two nights, WrestleMania going to be happening the second weekend of April here in 2021. Heading back to Dallas in 2022, and hopefully in 2023, SoFi Stadium, we get Roman Reigns versus The Rock. Let's reel it back in a little bit. What did you guys think of the hokey, kind of spoofy, makeshift breaking news WrestleMania announcement with Hunter and Steph and John Cena?
Frankly, I think it's hilarious that Vince McMahon is going to occupy Raymond James Stadium before Tom Brady. Ew! Had to get a little dig in there.
You keep thinking that. Just say it. Just keep thinking that.
A little diggy dig.
Just watch.
So first off, what did you guys think about the commercial before we get to the actual announcement? It was hokey, but I thought it was cute for what it was.
You act like I saw it, Tunny. Would you like to illuminate?
What am I?
Did you see this commercial? Or
oh, you guys didn't
I
see
saw
it?
I saw the announcement. I didn't watch the fucking commercial.
Oh well, it's Stephanie and Triple H at a news desk for breaking news, and Hunter has a Tom Brokaw wig on and glasses. And I think his name is Hank E. Panky. And then Stephanie has her hair up in a bun with glasses on, and I think she's Anita Mann or something like that.
Anita Realman.
Anita Realman. Yeah, there you go. And then Roman Reigns interrupts and head of the table, blah, blah, blah. And then we kick it to John Cena, who we can't see at first, and his name is Hugh Can't See Me. So
No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that.
What did I do?
Sandwiched between the head of the table.
What did I miss?
And the top guy in the industry for the last 15 years is the boss, Sasha Banks.
Oh, I forgot.
The announcement.
That's right. The Dallas
they're
thing.
Coming back
I forgot.
To Dallas.
Yeah, I forgot. That's, which was actually really probably it was probably the funniest part of all of it because she's there doing her, you know, Southern Texas Belle accent or Southern Belle Texas accent. And gets interrupted and just plays it off as if she knew what was going on the entire time. So she did a good job with it, I thought.
Well, it reminded me of Keanu Reeves in Devil's Advocate. If you guys ever seen that movie, because he's supposed to be from Florida, and throughout the entire movie, he's going in and out of his Southern accent. That's kind of how Sasha
was. You're trying to tell me that young Keanu Reeves really can't act? No way. I mean, another one.
I just wanted to give the boss props because they had Roman out there.
You just compared her to Keanu Reeves when he couldn't act. How is that props?
Because the fact that just like Keanu Reeves was in a movie with Al fucking Pacino, Sasha Banks was in a skit with Triple H with Roman Reigns, who's the current top guy.
John Cena, who's been the top guy.
Yes.
I get you. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
All I was
you focused on the accent and flipping in and out and bad acting, so I wasn't really sure where the fuck we were steering this ship. But I like how you saved it. I like your moxie, kid. I like it. You're good. You do your good job. Good job.
I love the boss, man, but she gonna get these jokes just like everybody else.
Is that only because Amber told you have to start ripping on her instead of dreaming about her?
I neither confirm nor deny. Thank you. Yes. Yep. Just like my chances for buns after this. After my dad listens to this podcast. Yep. As yep.
You know. Anywho. She's heard other episodes. I'm saying it on purpose. Doesn't that alleviate any pressure from you or any of the heat? Or does it make it worse? What do you think?
You would think.
I figured she'd start putting some heat on me and be like, why the fuck are you saying that while you bringing it up?
Like, I'm just saying, you would think that, you know, at some point in time, she would realize that these are entertainment for entertainment purposes only, but she hasn't got that far yet. Perhaps we need more than 5 listeners, and then she'll kind of get on board. Or perhaps
we don't believe you. You need more people.
That's what she's saying to you. You need more listeners.
Or we just need to get her on board for an episode. That's what we need to do.
I've been trying, man. She doesn't want to do it for whatever reason.
She's not a dumb girl. That's why.
Yeah, but she's personable, man, and she's funny. She's a good hang. Like, she'd be good doing this stuff.
You guys should do more. I'm calling you out on the air. You should do more movie reviews stuff. Didn't you guys do that before?
Oh yeah. Wasn't it reviews with Kramer?
Where's
doing the creation Creole summer, whatever it was.
I got a name for that. I got a name for the podcast.
What are you?
Rejuvenating Kreba.
Rejuvenating Kreba.
Somebody go get a vodka cranberry for Kreba. It's time for cocktails.
Number one, it was cocktails with cranberry. And
yes.
number two, my baby don't need no Rudy Poo cranberry juice. You just give her a little bit of lemon. She'll squeeze a little bit of lemon in the thing, and then she'll take the shot straight.
I was just trying to alliterate with all the CRs. That's all.
Oh yeah, that's where I was going too with it. I just went down the rabbit hole because, you know, it's one of Aesop's best Best forgets when he couldn't remember Amber's name and thought it was fucking Reba. And I'm just like, wow, Kreba, that's... Where? How is she a Reba? Okay, that's the best thing. We're never forgetting this. This is how this works.
Touché. No, that was well played. No, I'm not mad. I just, you know...
Yeah, no, I know.
Good after the whole Sasha debacle.
You do have to get into that, though. You have to get back into the whole movie thing, especially since,
I'm,
you know,
right.
Trout has spent to sports entertainment and sports and entertainment. So,
I'm trying.
Yeah, good job with that tag, Andrew.
What?
Good job with that tag.
What?
It's sports.
Sports entertainment.
And?
Sports entertainment. Sports and entertainment.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of ands. I just put the extra ands.
I'm trying. Number one, it's kind of...
Fully punctuate a comma! You have to say and! A pause just makes it sound like I'm drunk.
It could have been a dramatic pause.
Yes, but I'm not that dramatic.
A pregnant pause?
Who do you know? Who told you?
Told you about hitting Booker's Raw. But no... back to WrestleMania.
Pregnant pause.
Oh, we're talking about that?
Real quick, I just have to say, I'm here for the two-night WrestleMania. It sure as hell beats an eight-hour WrestleMania, especially if you're there in the arena. I mean, it's hard to keep your energy up for 8 hours, man. By the time the main event comes along, the energy has just dissipated from the entire building, and everybody's just ready to leave. And then you got to worry about 80 Melon Farmers leaving. So that's a whole nother issue. But I'm here for the two-night Manias, man. I prefer... two, three and a half, 4 hour shows to one long ass 8 hour show. So if that's gonna be a thing now, I'm here for it.
But the other two they announced, what, Texas and Hollywood, they're not two nights, right? They were just
as of right now. Yeah. But I mean, cards subject to change, brother.
Right, you're right. And I do like the fact that WWE is gonna make sure they're two nights or a weekend, unlike my whole issue with Wrestle Kingdom being the 1-4 show, so it's 1-4 on a Monday, 1-4 on a Tuesday, 1-4 on whatever. So if they make it 2 days, then that's just in the middle of a week like a bunch of assholes. So, yeah. So if it's Saturday, Sunday, I'm not mad.
So logistically, though, how does this work? So I'm assuming, okay, we have the TakeOver Wednesday night on USA. We do the Hall of Fame on Thursday. You got Friday Night SmackDown, and then WrestleMania and WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. Does that sound about right?
It could be, or they could just do, they could split the hall as the lead in between the 2 days, because they, I think I read something where they were thinking about doing it all virtual, digital, whatever you want to call it. So nothing stops you from having a couple people on day one and a couple people on day two just to lead into WrestleMania, instead of extremely long, pointless pre-shows where they talk about nothing for 2 hours and we get three job matches that no one cares about.
No, you that's a good point, man. I didn't think about that. I totally forgot that shit's fucked up right now. And you're not going to have an arena full of fans at the Hall of Fame, and all the current in-ring talent has to be there dressed up in suits and dresses and shit like that. So I like your idea. Yeah, that could work.
There we go. I mean, that was positive. That was nice. We should end that first question there, where it sounds like we like each other, and then continue the show, and we can see how far it goes. I like this.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Sorry, that was bad. You don't like that one?
What the? Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. What the fuck was that?
I was just trying a new voice.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I thought it was a recording. That wasn't horrible.
Okay. I'll have to play that back. Let me mark this.
Had.
Well, one.
I mean, it wasn't one. Velvet Pipes, but it was good.
I was trying to do something weird. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Do the bumper like that. Do the bumper in baby voice.
I don't know if I can. Like, try. This is the worst airtime ever. Just trying to give Flat some time to watch the end of this overtime game.
And now it's going into double OT. I appreciate it, though.
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy. All right, well, let's get back to business here. Randy Orton apparently had his face fireballed off by Alexa Bliss, who is now the Female Fiend. Go ahead, talk about that.
I don't know. I didn't mind Vanilla Sky when Tom Cruise did it, so Randy Orton's a different take, so fuck it. Why not?
God bless Randy Orton.
What's your favorite line? Right. What's your favorite line from Vanilla Sky?
Said nobody ever.
Something Penelope Cruz says in Spanish.
No, it's something Cameron Diaz says to Tom Cruise.
You fuck me and then you... Is that the one you're talking about?
That doesn't have to be my favorite. You don't know me. You don't know my life. You can't tell me what my favorite
is. What is it like? Didn't she say, like, you come in my mouth and then you kick me out or some shit like that?
I think it's when he starts to, like, break up with her or, like, tells her what... I can't remember the movie. It's been a while. But, it, like, something about where they're starting... She's realizing that she's not actually going to be with him. And she's like... But I swallowed your cum.
Yes.
Wait, was that Vanilla Sky or
Cameron
My
Diaz.
Last Month?
What was that?
I said, was that Vanilla Sky or My Last Month?
Oh, no, that was... What?
Who's mouth... Who came in your mouth, Andrew?
I butt-chug salt water all the time. Oh, it cleans it out, man. It cleans it out. That's the best thing.
Good for you, man.
So, Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss. My bad.
Hey, man, you gotta pay for that roof somehow. But, God bless Randy Orton.
That's the best part.
Pop!
They came today. Giggity. It's on topic if you get what I'm saying.
For the third time, he said, trying to get his point across, God bless Randy Orton, because this is clearly dialogue that's written for him, and he's doing the Lord's work right now, because he's making this dialogue seem entertaining and engaging, even though everything he's saying is like, what the fuck? I don't know what's been going on with Raw the last few months, man. It's just, I don't know. And I don't know where they're going now. They setting motherfuckers on fire. I don't know, man.
I've enjoyed Raw and SmackDown, to be honest with you.
Well, no, we're not talking about SmackDown. SmackDown's been the shit, but you've enjoyed Raw?
Sure, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
Why not? Why? That's the question.
I mean, Drew McIntyre's been really good. You got the New Day over there now.
Gone.
They've been very entertaining. I mean, Xavier Woods just came on there. I just was getting... God damn it.
They don't know what to do with the Hurt Business. They just have him stuck in neutral. What else? Retribution. That was a... It could have been something. They fucked that up. I don't know what they're doing with Rick O'Shea. AJ and his male man buck servant. I don't know what's happening
there. Do you
feel
like... Well... Yeah, I don't know. There's a good thing to talk about briefly, and I want to get Andrew's opinion on this after you chime in, Chris. Is what's the ceiling, and what do you see for Omos? This guy's gigantic. They didn't make him a heater for AJ for no reason. Like, I mean, they don't just attach people to guys like AJ Styles if you don't have future plans. So where do you see them going with him? Do you think he could be a main event guy? I mean, do we need to see more of his personality? Obviously, what are your thoughts here early on with this guy being gigantic as he is?
I mean, if they do it right, yes, they should be able to make money off of this guy, and he should be a main event guy. I kind of feel bad for him because I feel like he's the type of guy that would be perfect for the territory era, where he could just bounce around and be just this big melon farmer. You ain't necessarily got to put a title on him because he's the attraction. He's the main event.
Andre.
Like Andre. Yeah, like Andre. But yeah, I mean, they should be able to make some money off this melon farmer. And he played basketball, so he's got to have some modicum of athleticism, right?
I mean, yeah.
But Big Show and Kevin Nash played basketball, so let's not just count on that. Neither of them were athletic.
But they both became top guys, too.
Actually, I'll say
Big Show did a good job doing his thing.
Big Show was athletic slightly. Nash is never athletic at all. I mean, his matches in the 90s as Diesel
giant
is painful to watch.
Was athletic.
Yes. Big Show was
athletic.
Super.
Not so much that's the Big Show.
Yeah. The Giant was athletic.
No, that's my argument, because I could say the same thing about Khali. Because Khali could actually move, and he was decent in Japan. But then when WWE got him, he was shot, and he was just a big dude who could barely move. So it depends. There's a ceiling on big guys like that, because their flexibility, their athleticism runs out after a certain point. So, unless...
Well, the problem is, and this was the problem with Big Show, man, you can't see those guys every single week because it's the law of diminishing returns. You know what I mean? The more we see you, the more you're less of a big deal. I guess that's the problem with everybody in wrestling right now, but especially the big guy.
Big Show became a meme anyway with the fact that he turned face and heel every 25 seconds. So, like, at some point, you need to stop making the dude into a joke. So,
to your
especially
point,
when he stepped two or whatever fuck it is.
To your point, Chris, like, I didn't want to get into it when we were doing the WrestleMania topic, but man, pay-per-views need to go back to being 3 hours, and whoever makes it on the pay-per-view makes it on the fucking pay-per-view. It's only going to make the characters of all these different people trying to get themselves over better, because look what they had to do back in the day when you had way more talent right at the top of the card and you had way less TV time. You had to fucking get the fuck over or get the fuck out. And right now, there's too many people sitting on their lazy ass just going, well, I got a check. I'm in the mid-card. Who gives a shit? You know? And I fucking hate it. That's why I don't need 2 nights of WrestleMania. I don't need 6 hours of a Royal Rumble. Give me 3 hours. Give me a half-hour pre-show. That's wrestling. That makes people special that are achieving their goals enough to get onto those shows.
I agree with you. If we could get a one-day Mania that's 4 hours long with a half-hour or hour pre-show, I could tolerate that.
Right.
But the fact that we don't right now, I like the two-day because it's easier to digest. But ideally, I agree completely with you.
I'll even
that
give
it should
you,
be only for the top guys.
I'll even give you 4 hours for the big four, right? But otherwise, we need to get back to where the in-between ones and everything else is just barely 3 hours, you know? You got to earn your spot in the limelight. That's what main event and everything is for. You want to raise 205 Live. You things like that. You want to raise the ratings and make people pay attention to that. Make that more important.
Okay, so think about this from a business perspective.
You can't go backwards. I get it. You can't go backwards.
No, you can't.
It's just like why Raw will never go back to 2 hours, even though Vince McMahon and everybody at WWE would probably be happy to go back to 2 hours instead of creating 3 hours of content every Monday.
Why would they? Because they're still making 3 hours of content, or they're still making 3 hours worth of commercial money and
that's what I'm
TV
saying. I'm talking if the money didn't matter, and that's a world that nobody's lived in for the beginning of time. No. But I'm just saying the quality would be better if you got less. It's to making your own point, the law of diminishing returns. There's so much goddamn WWE every fucking week, and we talk about it all the time. You got to watch at least 7 hours of WWE weekly to keep up with everything. That's a minimum.
I'm not disagreeing with you, man. I'm just saying, think about it from a business perspective, man. You already have cannibalized your pay-per-view business, so nobody's getting pay-per-view bumps anymore, okay? House shows, I don't think they're going to bring house shows back. I'd be shocked if they brought house shows back. So there's really no way to quantify at this point in time who is and who is not a draw anymore. Because the product is the draw, not the wrestlers themselves.
Merchandise.
So, hold on. Let me finish.
Advertisers.
Hold on, your brother almost had to chug that last Friday. That's great, but let me finish.
He did.
So what I'm saying is...
The whole
as
thing.
As a company... God damn it, let me finish.
Sorry.
What I'm trying to say is the company is making more money than they've ever made before, and there's no way to quantify how much money that the wrestlers should be making. So wouldn't it behoove you as a business to try to get as many people on the biggest show of the year as possible so they can get that WrestleMania payoff just to keep motherfuckers from a mutiny in the background
and
keep everybody happy and fat?
I'm not arguing with you. You're absolutely right. I'm talking about making the content more quality. That's it. I agree. I'm saying in a perfect world, they could go backwards. Like, they'll agree with you that it's easier to do 2 hours of quality. It's why SmackDown's better than Raw, period. If they were both 2 hours, we'd sit here and go, which one was better? More so than we already do. I agree with you 100%, Chris. I'm just talking about the quality of the content, which everybody says seems to be lacking, and I'm trying to tell you why. That's it.
That's fair, man. But it's the same reason that, you know, rappers come out with 3 albums worth of shitty content every year. You know, it is the same reason. It's they're no longer a wrestling company. They are a content company. They're a content creator at this particular point in time. So the more content they can pump out, the more money they're going to make, and that's all they care about. Now, I think it's going to eventually come back and bite them in the ass, but I don't think we're going to see that bite for the next, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. And by that time, they probably won't be in the wrestling business anymore.
So,
they'll probably sell the shit at Disney.
Let's just flip this then, since we're kind of on this whole low-quality, shitty things and why it's bad and what could make it better. Let's talk about something good. Alexa fucking Bliss. Like, that fucking match, that fucking gimmick, it's adorable. The way, like, she reinvents herself. She's a pretty good actress. She's actually gotten better in the ring. Asuka put her over, like, any fucking analogy you can come up with. Where Asuka showed fear. Asuka actually looked weak. Asuka's strikes looked ineffective at different points when Alexa was going through her little transformation fiend things, talking to her invisible friend, going full Bride of Chucky, where she's trying to resurrect the fucking fiend and just, you know, kind of figure out how to get, you know, Bray's body back to put the fiend back in it or something like that. That's gotta be the end game right there. But for right now, like, this weird gimmick of her transforming between messy lipstick and messy buns, mm-hmm. to cute little Alexa Harley Quinn kind of thing that she's doing, to that match where she flipped in between from fiend mannerisms to her own weird kind of thing, that was cool. Like, I don't know how you felt about it, but Alexa Bliss is kind of a shining moment in WWE in general. Aside from, like, the Roman redoing his whole thing to being a heel and head of table, Alexa's right there too.
Can I jump in real quick, Chris? Because I do have thoughts on Alexa Bliss.
No, I like when he jumps in. And plus, Chris also likes finishing the conversation.
I'll make it.
Number one, he's getting pretty good at this, Tony, isn't he? Because that was a hell of a segue, was it not?
I have my moments.
I only had flowers for Algernon right now. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Who's Algernon?
You don't know the story?
Is he the guy in my picture? Why the fuck does his name keep changing?
Have you really never heard that? Have you really never read Flowers?
I know the book. Gotcha. Continue, though.
To your point about Alexa Bliss, and I'm sure Platt's going to probably get into this a little bit, is she's been pushed ever since she came on the scene. 100%, every waking moment that she's been available to do everything. And I think now that she's fully recovered... No. And now I think now that she's fully recovered from, I believe it was the concussions that she went through, correct, and everything. That's why she was not wrestling a lot and everything else.
A couple of them for like a year almost, yeah.
And now that she's back to full availability, yeah, they're just going to push her to the moon. Because, I mean, honestly, like, she's fucking hot.
Not even that, though. But like,
no, but it is. Work, yeah, and she's good. And she's good. She's very good.
So my thing is, excuse me, it's similar to the Randy Orton argument I was trying to make last topic. Or actually, it was the beginning of this topic. That's how long we've been talking about this. Where she's doing the best, just like Randy, she's doing the best with the content that they're providing her. And the thing with the character is they can only, this is the problem when you're a publicly traded company. It's supposed to be creepy, but you can only go but so far. Because you're a publicly traded company. Not only are you a publicly traded company, but the era that we're in right now, you always kind of got to walk on eggshells because you don't want to offend anybody because it's going to mess up your bottom line. And the bottom line is the bottom line. So you know, you're kind of walking on eggshells. You're trying to be a little edgy, but you can only go so far. Now, at the end, when she was flipping back and forth between the characters, that shit was awesome. I will give y'all that. That was cool. I didn't like how Asuka was a bitch, but it was cool. I mean, storyline-wise, it fit with the story that they were trying to tell. I'm interested to see where they go with this. And, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm interested to see where they go with this. I get it. Like, she's the fiend reincarnated, or she's got the spirit of the fiend in her, or whatever the case may be.
It hits me a lot like Bride of Chucky, where, you know, she was looking to put the soul back into the Chucky doll and trying to bring him back, and that's exactly where we're at right now, where she's still talking to the fiend and can still see him somehow, and he's got a power over her, be it a possession or whatever. So she's probably going to find a new person or a new Bray, or Bray's gonna come back somehow because she'll find a way to bring it back. But I love the fact that Asuka was a little punked out, because it's perfect. It's the same way you don't expect Hogan to miss the leg drop against fucking Ultimate Warrior. Like, you have one of the strongest, legitimately badass chicks in that division who, you know, if she spins around and hits you with that fucking back fist, your ass would drop. Man, woman, child, old, it doesn't matter who the fuck you are. That's going to hurt. She throws some stiff fucking kicks. And the fact that Alexa just gets up or acts like her arm's dead or she's like a little tweaked out or whatever the hell it was, like, that's good shit. That's putting a new character, a girl, over because your strongest character is invalidated against whatever this new power is. And that's, you know, that's a little anime, that's a little comic book, whatever you want to call it, but it works, and it's fan-fucking-tastic. And Tony apparently disagrees because he's too busy playing on his phone. I don't know. Did they give a Golden Tee mobile app? Is that what you're in the middle of? Because I know you love it at the bar. Are you that sad? Oh, Tony, does we need to get you a Golden Tee?
Were you talking to me?
No, we were just stating, and then you were over there on your phone, and I could see it caught Chris's eye. Because Chris is like, you motherfucker, you're just on your phone dicking around when we're making a point.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to go on the next topic. I was done talking.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Ignore us. No, this doesn't matter. It's fine.
What do you want me to do?
Our moderator won't listen to what we're saying.
What do you want
How
me
do
to
we
do?
Expect to get listeners? How?
Brass is sounding right. Well, thank you all for tuning into the latest edition.
Did I miss my cue to go to the next topic?
This is Pot is War, Alms for the Poor.
Is that what happened?
Apparently our own moderator won't listen to our fucking shit.
Did I miss the cue to go to the next topic? Is that what happened?
Well, if you have been paying attention...
I'm not going to tell you. You should know.
No. So does Rule.
Yeah, they do.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. Relax. Now, if you're done burying me, put the shovels down, take off your boots, and let's get into topic number three. Hard to kill, Andrew.
Yeah, it's not snowing yet. You're safe.
All right, good. Hard to kill, Andrew. How much did you enjoy the actual pay-per-view? What did you think? I mean, I know I read your results and everything, and I know that you had some pretty high praise for a couple of matches, but overall, I really didn't get the gist of how you felt. I think you partially enjoyed it, a little light of what you expected.
It did. It underperformed slightly, and that's because the beginning matches were a little rough, and I didn't watch the countdown show, so I didn't see the Brian Myers versus Josh Alexander match, which... not expecting a ton from, but I would have liked that on the main card. But the Eric Young group, which Violent, I don't mind Violent by Design as a name. It's not terrible. It's a little too cute. Like, it sounds kind of like I don't even know. Violent by Design sounds like a really bad, like, emo, screamo kind of hardcore band. It doesn't sound like a wrestling faction, but it's not the worst name. That match was what I expected it to be. There was a few matches that were kind of duds, and at least the main events, they kind of definitely brought up the aggression, they brought up the storytelling, the barbed wire massacre with Eddie Edwards and Sammy Callahan, two guys they're good workers. Like, as much as Sammy may get some shit, he's a good worker. He's done good work everywhere he goes, be it Japan or his little bit of a run in WWE, Lucha Underground, you know, TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call it. He does good work. And the main event, as much as I am not a fan of Kenny Omega, I did appreciate what they did. I appreciated the fact that they came out in full Bullet Club gear. They had Bullet Club on the name. Omega came out with a t-shirt, said Bullet Club. It was the old Halloween design. They were getting over that Bullet Club dig to Tama Tonga real heavy. And it probably implies there's some work or some attempted work going on, which that's interesting. So that kind of kept my interest. Moose looked like a million fucking bucks. Like, he fucking ran circles around almost everybody. He pulled off some great moves, worked well with everybody there when everybody was questioning his loyalty, and he brought up his football career saying, there's guys I didn't like, there's guys I hated, but, you know, for 60 minutes, you're my brother, I'm going to do whatever I can to win that fucking game. But then after that, it's a different story. And Moose hit a beautiful, like, Spanish fly off the top on Omega. He hit a standing moonsault after doing some tandem work with them. Moose was fucking impressive. Like, I hope they could put the belt on him over Rich at some point, because Moose, I think, is really, really figured it the fuck out. And Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, not bad. Could have been better. Not bad, though, but it was assumed to be Taya's last match, and as we saw on the following Impact, it was, because they wrote her off in a at least they didn't fucking kill her. Like, at least, you know, that it was a much more clever way to write her off. So I'm fine with that. And one of the most divisive matches, which I purposely waited so you could weigh in on this, Chris, because I wanted to make sure you were here with full attention, was the Knockouts tag match. Lots of people dogged on it for being not a great work rate match, and it wasn't a wonderful work rate match, but it played into storyline because Faya and Flava had their issues with Havoc and Nevaeh for a while. It circulated into a feud with them and Rosemary and Taya, and it's kind of culminated nicely where the little chihuahuas, as we both agreed that they kind of were, and even Taya called them that, where they're mouthy and they're spunky, they overcame the bigger monster girls who, you know, known each other, had better chemistry, and it was a nice story. Some of the spots were nice, some of the spots were sloppy, but I liked the way the story kind of came together in total, and the fact that Gail Kim and Madison Rayne showed up to kind of inaugurate them with the new titles, that's really nice too. Oh, and Madison also officially retired right before the show started on the Countdown show. So that added an interesting weight to the show because, you know, Madison, whatever you might think of her career, she had a decent career in Impact. She was in the WOH inaugural tournament where she did all right. She kind of proved that she figured it out. She had a little bit of a stint in the Performance Center, which she probably helped her. I think she was in one of the Mae Young Classics, if I remember correctly, but I don't 1,000% know that. But so Madison's come on in the last couple years, and Stryker and D'Lo were a lot better than Josh Matthews and anybody in the last couple years, so I'm looking forward to that. They still got their growing pains, but their announced team is definitely better because I'm a big fan of Matt Stryker. But Chris, anything strike you as impressive? Anything, a talking point you want to bring up?
Yeah, Stryker's a great talker, by the way. But number one, shout out to Madison Rayne, because whatever you may think about her, she is a TNA / Impact OG. So shout out to her. Number two, I feel so validated and vindicated that you have finally come around on Moose, because you finally see what I saw this whole time that we've been doing this show.
You remember, I feel like argument is that I argued that he just didn't get it, and I didn't know if he would. And you wanted him to, and you know that. Don't act like you knew it. You wanted him. You were willing him, like with the power of positivity or whatever. Like maybe the secret. Maybe you like texted it to him somewhere, or like sent him a PDF. And you were just trying to get over to him. But after his EC3 shit, Moose really fucking figured it out. And I'm so happy he did, because he's so fucking good. Like now that he's figured it out, he is. He should have the belt for, like, I would love Moose, like, having Moose having a 2-year run as champion. I would eat that up. Moose is fucking good.
And as far as Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz, you know, I'd never accuse them of being the second coming of Ray Stevens and Nick Bockwinkel at all. You know, that and like you said, that's not the character. They're more character driven. And I like great matches just as much as everybody else, but I think one of the problems with your people, the IWC, oh, well, their work rate is No, it's not about that. It's never been about that. There's a reason Floyd Mayweather is drawing more money than a combat sport fighter in the history of combat sports combined. You know what I mean? And most people think that his boxing matches are boring. I personally don't, because I love to see excellence on display, and I appreciate...
Don't act like he's not boring his shit. That's like watching a 6-3 football game at the defense.
No. It's just like, I'm going to put it to you like this, man. I used to think golf was boring to watch on television.
It is.
Until I actually golfed. And then once you golf, you get an appreciation for what those guys and the women can do on the course. It's the same thing, because I took boxing lessons for a little bit. They didn't last very long because I realized I don't like to get hit. I'm cool with sparring and hitting the punching bag and all of that shit, but I don't like to get hit.
You would have been fucking great, too, because you're like 6'2", 125 or something like that. You would have outreached everybody. You would have killed all those kids. The Bean Sprout team. It's fucking fantastic. What, you box featherweight?
Okay, fuck you, but you're not wrong. I just didn't want to be on these airways talking about that. I didn't want to do all that.
What
the war? I didn't want to be like that. But okay. Nah, but again, the same type of thing, man. That's why I appreciate what Floyd does. Like, Floyd is really good at boxing. I truly think he's the GOAT. So I appreciate watching greatness and watching what he does. But getting back to this, everything doesn't have to be a 18-star classic in the Tokyo Dome. They've always been about style over substance, or they've always been about everything they've done through this whole run since they've been together. It's all character driven, so I'm not mad at any of that, and I'm happy that they won. We talk about this. We love them both. Well, you love one, I love the other, but we love them together as well. But
yes, that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm glad they won those titles. Now, getting back to the Bullet Club thing, I want to get your thoughts about that, because I know our Commander in Chief, Chairshot Gray, get well, brother. We love you. He brought up the fact that Rich Homie Swan ate the pin in this match. Is that correct?
That is correct.
He called Rich Homie Swan a mid-carder, which, as much as I hate to admit it because he's black, yeah, that's probably about right. I was happy that they put the title on him because I think he's a super talented guy, but that's probably about right. I don't know. Where does this go, man? Do you see a scenario where Rich Homie Swan and Kenny Omega have a title-for-title match, and then Kenny just goes around sweeping up all this gold in these other ancillary territories not named WWE?
I would like it more if Rich dropped it to Moose. And that would be better to me, because watching that match, you see how well Kenny and Moose work together. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Kenny, but when you give Kenny a good person to work with, suddenly the match looks better. Like, he is definitely that type of person that needs a good worker to work with to look great. And him and Moose have chemistry. Like, everything they did together was fantastic looking. It was beautiful. And Kenny let him do, like I said, he let him do the Spanish fly. He let him do a couple nice big moves to him to make him look strong before Kenny kind of did the power up comeback with the V triggers and took out Rich Swan with the one wing angel.
Pointing and all that goofy shit.
Yeah, and all the hand gestures and the stupid gesticulation bullshit that he does. But, like, there was a lot of nice elements. One of my favorite elements of the match was when Swan had a pin on Omega, and you even saw Don Callis tried to jump in the ring to break up the pin. Like, it's interesting because it shows a level of desperation. It shows how much this means to everybody. For as much as Omega himself in a match doesn't really work psychology, doesn't really work something like that, all of the following, like, all of the surrounding pieces really helped to sell the story of the match. And if you get Moose to beat Rich and then Moose to face Kenny Omega, shit, that's a fucking great match. Like, I don't even care who wins, really, because that's going to be a fucking good match and I'd want a rematch. And, you know, I've not sung Kenny Omega's praises ever. So that's saying something. Like, Moose is who should have the title right now. And I mean the Impact title, not the TNA title.
And also, shout out to Don Callis. We really have to give this man his flowers. I think he's probably one of the most underrated performers, minds, whatever you want to say. He belongs in that Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman. I think he belongs in that category.
He was relevant for like 3 years, and then he disappeared for like 15. How is that underrated when you're just not involved in the business? Like, this is a legit question. I'm not just splitting hairs either. Like, you saw him as the Jackal. You saw him as Cyrus the Virus. That was, what, 3 or 5 years? I can't remember. It was the 90s. And then you didn't see him again until he was a fucking commentator with New Japan. So, like, he almost took 20 years off. Like, how can you say he's underrated when he's only been, like, 5 years in the business of doing anything relevant?
Well, because he was great as the Jackal character on the David Koresh side of the game, and I'm dating myself but that's
a good reference, though.
Yeah, that's what it was, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah. And then he took some years off, whatever, came back, excellent commentary in New Japan, been doing the Lord's work down there in Impact. I know nobody's watching it, but they've been putting on a damn entertaining show since he's been the head booker.
I cover it. I watch it. Come on, why am I nobody? And the problem with his commentary is it's the same. He doesn't evolve his commentary ever. He runs down his person he's running with, doing commentary with, and makes like 90s dated jokes, and it gets old. It really gets stale after a while.
And I'm assuming I'm gonna disregard that last comment because I just want to finish up my point. And I'm assuming he's the one. Love you too, but I'm assuming he's the one that brokered this deal between Impact and AEW. And when it first happened,
you didn't see that. Tony Khan was on Renee's, I think, interview thing, and he said it was Kenny that pitched the idea.
And who pitched it to Kenny?
I don't know, but Callis made it work, but Kenny pitched the idea. I don't know if Callis got in his ear, but if you're going to buy into the invisible hand thing, because you're apparently the kayfabe princess over here right now today, like, if you want to do that, sure.
Wow.
Callis has been pulling all the fucking strings. That's exactly
what we might have a new
title. Puppet Master. Kayfabe princess?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, lick my balls. I just shaved them, so you don't have to worry about the hair.
Oh, nice.
Number
two, thank you. Damn it. If that wasn't...
Do you use cocoa butter or no?
Oh, that's a little lengthy. Lick my balls, I just shaved them. That's a really good title, but it might be a little bit too much for the generated CG. Might be the title generation.
See, don't say it's a little lengthy, because then that's just going to inflate his ego and he'll take it somewhere else.
But from all accounts, Jericho said this, Omega also said this, Don Callis was the one that brokered the deal to get Jericho into New Japan.
What has Jericho not said? Jericho has been the biggest mark for like dementia and just saying shit to pop himself in the last 3 years that it doesn't fucking matter. Like, is it true? It could possibly be true. But what the fuck is Jericho actually saying of substance, aside from whatever substance he's taking?
So we're not going to let me finish.
I mean, are you done or are you finished?
The hell?
Neither. I'm just saying, man. Don Callis is the invisible hand because as much as I was looking forward to and excited about this possible collaboration with Impact and AEW, to the life of me, I can't see how this thus far has helped AEW whatsoever.
I mean, it got them Guns and Gallows for a Bullet Club pop. I mean, that's perfect for the people that have actually tuned into AEW. That's the kind of shit they want to see. They want to see that Bullet Club crap.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. Impact. Yeah, but let's put it this way. If AEW wasn't working with Impact right now, we wouldn't be talking about Kenny Omega or the Bullet Club. We would have just talked about Hard to Kill. That's it, right?
We would haven't been, or we would have only been talking about Impact, but everybody else is talking about AEW, not talking about Impact. So, because we don't really fall into the same kind of vein as most of the IWC, which blows AEW and just wants everything the best, and Kenny's the cleaner, and he's the best bout machine, and 6 stars and 7 stars,
That's such a small, concentrated group of fans, though. Like, honestly, I feel like you could take the number of people that tune into AEW every week, add 10% of that number to itself, and that's the total fandom of AEW, in my opinion. It's a total fucking, we're louder, so we're right, and it's just stupid.
That's kind of what I think I brought up a week or two ago, and Chris has probably said something very similar, but his number was smaller when he was basically saying they're just going to attract the same 200,000 fans, which you said like a year or two ago. But I was saying that Kenny's fans are like that 800,000 that migrate with him. So that pops everybody else's number by nearly a million, and they think he's a draw because his fans are that loyal and that diehard that they will go to Impact, AAA, wherever the fuck he goes, they'll go. So it looks good on paper, and it inflates an ego, and it inflates a narrative that people want to spout off.
I will not disagree with you that Impact needs AEW more than AEW needs Impact, specifically for the reason you just talked about.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think AEW is benefiting way more than Impact is. I think Impact had their own thing going and were growing, and AEW was kind of stale, and this is really helping them out.
You bring up an interesting perspective, and Chris, I want you to weigh in on this too, because AEW's got the bigger brand, viewer-wise. But that's a good point that they've been kind of treading water and been in that same number, where Impact has been on an upward trajectory since at least Slammiversary when they got the Good Brothers and all that other stuff. So, do you see it as a two-way street, or do you still basically see it as Impact is reaping all the benefits and AEW's not really getting much, like some people are saying?
Yeah, I feel like Impact is reaping all the benefits at this point in time. Because, I mean, what has it really done to spike AEW numbers? The last time they really spiked a number was when Sting debuted, and they did 900,000. And then the next time he was there, the next week, it went down. And then the week after that, he was on there, and it went down again. So, I feel like this was a spike for Impact, which is why I was trying to give Don Callis all the props in the world, because I feel like he's the melon farmer that brokered this whole thing. I think he's the mastermind pulling these strings. And, I mean, when's the last time we talked about Impact to this depth and to this length? I mean, that has to mean something, right?
I mean, also, when's the last time that, you know, I may be a little wrong in my number, but when's the last time that we had like 5 weeks in a row where you saw some black wrestlers main event the TV and the pay-per-views and stuff like that? Like, Impact's
not been, since The Rock was there every week.
But you know what I'm getting at. Like,
no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with
everybody.
You, yes.
They had Private Party in there this week because, you know, they did the AEW crossover where more AEW people came over. You know, Rich Swann, Moose, Willie Mack was in, Chris Bay's been in the main events. Like, talking about, you know, diversity and all that other stuff, like, Impact is doing a lot when it comes down to that because, you know, love him or hate him, and he's very easy to hate. TJP's Filipino, you know. Su Young, Japanese, the Susan character, which this Susan's adorable. Like, I love the fact that she found a way to reinvent an undead bride from the whole childlike fucking innocence of Susie to now she is literally the embodiment of a middle-aged woman. She is Karen. Her name is just Susan. Like, she was filming on her fucking cell phone at some point, the ref kicking her out and the other people hitting her, and she posted it on Twitter the same way a Karen would post somebody like yelling at her because she cut them off or something like that. This is great work from Su Young, and it's just really nice to see all of the younger talent and the diversity in talent, and it's actually diverse because they're good characters and not diverse because that's the agenda they're pushing as their brand. And it's just nice. And I also, I'll give AEW a little bit of credit. They did wonderful on Impact with the fact that they brought Jerry Lynn in as a ringer against Impact and Matt Hardy as a ringer against Impact to run them down, because they're both two former big entities from Impact TNA, and they worked to fuck them over. I thought that was just really, really well done, no matter how much I dislike Tony Khan or Kenny Omega.
So just to put a bow on this topic so we can move on, man, I just want to say it sucks when you think about Impact. And I'm not saying everything Impact does or touches is gold, but it sucks when you think about Impact, you think about MLW, you think about even Ring of Honor reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
The NWA, which I don't know what's about to happen with that. It's such that these are the companies that are doing the most innovative things in wrestling right now, but nobody's watching them. That sucks.
Poignant.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we are going to hit one more topic from Hard to Kill, and we're going to continue to talk Impact Wrestling. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling?
Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, nothing like a good segue and a dance break, folks. Mortal Kombat, indeed. Andrew, why don't you set this one up for everybody? Because this story with Ethan Page and what's going on in Impact Wrestling is so tasty and gossipy and juicy. And let's take that big piece of French bread, dip it right in the serving dish, and soak up all the wrestling gossip au jus that is Ethan Page, Mortal Kombat, and Impact Wrestling.
Let me just say that was well worded. I like the wrestling au jus. I liked all of that. That was nice. But let me just say that Julian, because he likes to put his Twitter as, you know, Ethan Page played by Julian. Julian disappointed me on this whole situation, because he comes off like a whiny fucking mark. And thinking about this, I have developed in my head why he may have done this, but let me just frame the whole situation. So he's crying about the Karate Man versus Ethan Page cinematic gimmick, green screen, whatever you want to call it, like that thing, that match, that whatever it was, that segment. He's crying that he didn't have editing, like, final say in the edit process. It was done in November. He feels that his YouTube version was better, and he feels like his fans got cheated, and it was done in a high school kind of cheap way. And then he kind of cries about how he didn't want to put Karate Man on TV, but Impact kind of strong-armed him into bringing the character out of his YouTube world into Impact's world. It's not sour grapes. It's complete bitch shit. And here's my reason. For what we saw, there was a Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat bicycle kick moment, a Dragon Ball Z level power up, and it ends with Karate Man pulling out Ethan Page's heart. Where in the blue fuck does anybody with a brain and sense beyond third grade humor think that should ever be portrayed seriously? You're pulling out a motherfucker's heart. How can you not make that into a giant fucking joke of a segment? How can you sit there on some fucking downy fucking soapbox and fucking go, I would have made it more serious because I think my fans wanted a serious portrayal of a fight of one person against themselves? Retard! You pulled out your own fucking heart to kill yourself and write yourself off of Impact, and Karate Man wins. This is also coming off of Talking Shop of Mania 2, where all you did was punch dudes in the fucking nuts and then say, more torture, and had more people come out to punch and stomp on nuts. You are not a serious character. Your Karate Man gimmick is not a serious character. None of this should be taken seriously. You pulled out a man's heart. That is not serious in the world of wrestling. What retard playlist playland, McDonald's fucking playland, do you live in?
That fatality. You,
that should have been taken seriously. In high school 101, in my play class, I would have told everybody, this is like Shakespeare. This needs to be done with a straight face and just super serious because it'll be funnier. No, it's dumb. And it was good because it was dumb. And it was emphasized to the stupid degree I enjoyed the Mortal Kombat references and the anime references and the get him a body bag Johnny kind of Karate Kid thing. Because it was stupid. Because it was that level of stupid that you expected from a person fighting themselves in front of a bad green screen. All right, Chris, you get to weigh in now. I think I'm done.
Yeah, everything you said sounds goofy as fuck. But this, I don't see how this is any different from anybody that leaves WWE and then out the door they bury the company. You know, that's just what this is. The only difference is he didn't go on Jericho's podcast. He didn't talk to Chris Van Vliet. He didn't talk to Meltzer and my one-sided feud, mortal enemy Brian Alvarez on the Observer to bury WWE. But this sounds like the exact same shit. But the scene that you just described, I'm just thinking to myself, do professional wrestlers get buns anymore? Is that why they're out here taking advantage of underage girls and young ladies that are trying to get into the business, so they're trying to use whatever itty-bitty little stroke they have to pressure them into sexual favors? Is that what's happening now? Is that where we're at? Professional athletes don't know how to get pussy anymore. What type of world are we living in?
Dude, I don't know. I really don't. And here, just because I alluded to it in the beginning, where I almost thought of an angle this could be leading to.
We're not doing
and
that.
Then we could maybe extrapolate on this a little bit. Because of the way that Matt Hardy came in and Jerry Lynn came in as insiders, almost, you know, betraying the company and running down gimmicks from the past, like when Hardy said something along the lines of, yeah, and we lost the titles because of some stupid teleportation thing. I don't even understand what the time and space thing, like he totally ran down the broken universe and the way they kind of dropped the titles there, and Jerry Lynn screwed them over when he was such a mainstay in the X Division. This feels like Ethan Page could just be setting up to sign with AEW and then be used in this war collaboration, crossover, whatever you want to call war. It.
This is a skirmish.
No. It's a skirmish. Okay, yes, skirmish, collaboration, crossover, takeover, whatever. I was just going through different words at the moment. Ethan Page could use this as his angle to ingratiate himself to AEW and then turn himself against TNA Impact, because of the simple fact that, well, they did him dirty going out, because obviously the Karate Man was such a serious gimmick of a character, because when you're known as the Karate Man and you do every gimmicky karate thing and you kind of overdub yourself in old fucking, you know, kung fu flick kind of way where your lips keep moving and yet words keep coming out even though your lips are still moving, you know, that kind of bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, you're a serious character that deserves to serious consideration and better editing, right?
You might be right. Maybe that's what he's setting up. But the problem is, nobody cares. Yeah, nobody cares what you do, Ethan. And no disrespect, you're a talented guy, but nobody cares.
No, you're yeah. I
don't really know what else to say from there, man. I know everybody kind of paused and were waiting for me to elaborate, but what else can I say? Nobody cares.
Yeah, let me throw this one out then, because I did listen to our wonderful Commander-in-Chief Greg DeMarco's show, which got renamed to Babyface Heel Podcast, and they basically said that he fucked himself over to NXT by playing Sour Grapes and Bitch Roll by doing that kind of thing, and he basically just screwed himself out of playing ball with Triple H, because they saw that, you know, if he's going to act that way leaving Impact, because who the fuck watches Impact, what's going to happen if he doesn't like something that, you know, NXT or WWE gives him? So did he literally just fuck himself out of New York, and he's only got Jacksonville as an answer?
You know what, Andrew? I'm glad you brought that up, and shout out to our Commander-in-Chief, Greg DeMarco, because this gives Uncle Chris an opportunity to give some game to the youngsters out there.
If oh, good. I'll pour myself another drink. You have fun. Keep talking.
Go for it. If you talk shit, if you're, you know, you break up with your girl or whatever the case may be, and you talk shit to the next girl about your ex-girl, that's a bad look. Because that, number one, well, what were you doing with her? Number two, that shit makes you look petty. Like, men don't do that. If it don't work out, it don't work out. Like, men don't do that. And I think that's similar to what DeMarco was trying to say. Like, if you're going to bury them out the door, your ex-company, well, what's going to happen if you're unhappy here? And, you know, we ended up parting ways. How's that going to work? It makes you look like a bitch, which, frankly, Andrew, that's how you started this entire segment. It makes him look like a bitch. And men don't want to play with bitches, man. And quite frankly, I use that word bitch very liberally because I know way more male bitches than I know female bitches. I don't really know that many female bitches. So most bitches in the world are men. Let's just keep it a buck and a half on that. Can we agree on that? Most bitches in the world are men.
Yeah, totally. And like, you sound women like can a bitch. Be bitchy, but it's going to be...
Let's go to Christopher Platt. Live in the field, he's made a discovery. Christopher.
Yeah, I feel like Andrew had summarized it up great. We didn't need any of that. But thank you, Tony, for trying to contribute.
Thanks for that report, Chris. I agree. Most men are bitches. What? Hold on.
You saved it at the end. Good job.
I know, but only visually. And it's a shout-out to Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live. Playing the old guy reporter. He'd grab the microphone and he'd be like, yeah, back to you.
And I mean, it's different if you had some stroke or you had some pull or some leverage. You know what I mean? It's different, but most people don't even know who you are, bro.
Yeah,
you
out here talking Twitter shit. Famous, which ain't shit.
No.
Yeah, there we go. So, Ethan Page's whole complaint. It ain't shit because he's a bitch. That's topic four. Let's go on to topic five now.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Go ahead, Chris.
Why are you giving
go
him advice?
Chris, go ahead. Finish it off.
They got about 50-11 of you down in NXT.
50-11.
And half of them can't even get TV time out of our right ass now. Today. So you might have just fucked yourself.
True.
All right, here we go. Topic five. They're playing basketball all around the world. To the beach, y'all. They're playing basketball. Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know this is so dead. To the beach, y'all. All right, gentlemen, it's been too long. Chris and I are foaming at the mouths here to argue about Brooklyn Nets basketball. I don't want to rush into this topic, but speaking of power trios, let's talk about the newly formed power trio of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and once again, back to basketball, Mr. Kyrie Irving. Christopher Platt, the floor is yours, sir.
So I've said this on Three Man Weave. I believe I drunkenly said it on these airwaves last week as well. This can work. From a basketball standpoint, this trio can work. And I remember, and it pisses me off because I read somewhere that Chris Broussard said the exact same thing I said like 2 months ago while recording Three Man Weave, which is the way this is going to work is that James Harden is going to have to be the facilitator for this team, which is the same role that he took on when he was in Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I always mix Russell Westbrook and Russell Wilson up, but I said it right this time. But it's the same thing. Yes, he was the sixth man. Yes, he came off the bench, but at the end of the games and in the fourth quarters, he was the facilitator, and Russell Westbrook slid over to the off-guard position. This is going to work very similar. Number one, Kevin Durant is probably the most efficient scorer in the history of the NBA. I mean, if you, and his game-wise, if Dirk Nowitzki had a baby with Iceman George Gervin, that child, that offspring would be Kevin Durant. And you can roll your eyes all you want to, Tony, but if you think about what I'm saying, it makes perfectly good fucking sense.
I didn't roll my eyes. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it.
Okay, we'll keep thinking. So I'm going to keep talking, but you keep thinking.
Sounds about right. It's close.
But it, yeah, but he's just super.
No, that's not bad, actually.
George Gervin, I think, at his current age, still has more coverage than Kevin Durant, and so does Dirk Nowitzki. But move on. We're talking about only basketball, not hair. Yeah, we're not talking about hair. We're talking about basketball.
Okay. But, I mean, he's just super efficient, man. He can get you 30 points off of 12 shots. That's how efficient he is. And I mean, okay, Kyrie, every now and again, you're just going to have to throw him the ball and let him do his thing. He's going to have to ISO and just do his thing. That's just what it is. But James Harden is going to be the facilitator. And I know the argument it is, you know, you got two ball-dominant guys. Who's more ball-dominant than LeBron James? And Kyrie Irving won a title with LeBron James. And that was the exact formula. LeBron is going to facilitate the offense and do what he does. And every now and again, if he needs a blow or whatever the case may be, you just throw the ball to Kyrie and let him go do his thing. And I think that's how this is going to work. And frankly, they're going to meet the Lakeshore in the finals this year, folks. And I know people are going to have some questions defensively. So DeAndre Jordan is going to have to step up because he's the big, and he's going to have to defend. He's going to have to protect the rim and rebound. I think Kevin Durant can help him out with that as well. But lowest of keys, the last few years, James Harden has been playing much better defense. The problem is the only two people on the face of the planet that have recognized it are Skip Bayless and myself. Now, you know, on ball, maybe not, but he's going to basically play like free safety in the NFL. He's going to be lurking. He's going to get steals and disrupt things. Kyrie, yeah, he's not going to play D. But that being said, yeah, he's not going to play D. But that being said, man, in an anemic East, which every single team that has an opportunity has a fatal flaw, I don't see a reason why this Brooklyn Net team cannot go to the finals. I think they will.
You and him were chomping at the bit. You want to weigh in first?
Well,
I'll
tell you where you're right. You look at the stats from the first game tonight, 25 field goal attempts for Durant, 28 for Irving. So, yeah, I mean, he's bringing up the ball. He's going to get him where he's going to get him. And I'm okay with that. If you're going to go 15 for 28, if you're going to score 37 points on 28 shots, that's great. Right?
Yeah, that's not.
But they lost. And why did they lose? Is because they're not deep. I mean, when Reggie Perry, the rookie, is your only backup for the front court, you're in trouble. I mean, DeAndre Jordan can't play 30-some minutes every night. I know they're on back-to-back. He played like 20-some minutes tonight, but double overtime loss to Cleveland tonight. Now, granted, what you're saying is correct. The shot attempts are going to go mainly to Durant and Kyrie. James Harden is going to be that guy that's looking for a triple-double every night, just like he did tonight. The thing the Nets have working for them is their three stars are three of the best free-throw shooters in the entire league. They're going to have the ball. You can't follow them, and you can't guard them. The problem is they have no depth, especially up front. And when it comes playoff time, that's going to be a struggle when you're going to have to go through teams in the East that have very good big guys. Bam Adebayo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you don't have multiple people to throw at these guys, that's going to be a problem.
So let's start with Philly. They're looking schizophrenic again. And Doc has a long
season. They won tonight,
and
Embiid had 42.
And Doc has a long season.
And tomorrow he'll have 8. Like, Embiid is hot and cold.
And Doc has a long season to get to whip those melon farmers into shape and see what they we'll see what they're going to be at the end of the season. But right now they're looking like the same schizophrenic Philly team. True. Miami, I think they're going to suffer from the quick turnaround. You know, they were just playing October, and now we're right back in December. I think ultimately, as the season progresses, they're going to start to wear down. Who else we got? Boston. Their big albatross is Kemba Walker. That team is going to go as far as Jason Tatum takes him. He's the best player on that team. He needs to step up and be the man. Kemba, he's flawed. Plus, he's damaged goods. He's not healthy anymore. So that's what's going to set them back. Milwaukee, Tony, I love you. I love that team. I love the Drew Holiday edition. But you saw the game versus New Jersey a couple of days ago. What happened? Giannis took one shot in the last 5 minutes. And then on the last play of the game, the reigning defending MVP was a decoy for your third best player in Chris Middleton. That's a bad look.
I mean,
who else is out there?
The problem
who else is out east,
right? But I think you're missing the problem though with Milwaukee. And the thing is we talked about it before. And I'm looking it up right now. It's kind of why I'm pausing. But Giannis went 6 of 8 from the free throw line that night, but he went 1 of 10 the night before. It's a guy you can't count on from the free throw line, and they're forcing him to take a 25 to 30 foot shot for a 3-pointer. And instead of Giannis going downhill when they give him that much space to run into the lane, he's settling for those shots. And honestly, Chris Middleton had no time to take that shot. He is the guy that on that team that you want with the ball at the end. He is your first best option to score with that little time. And it was a good look. I mean, he ain't trying to look and see if Giannis is cutting from the top of the key when he is trying to get his feet set behind the 3-point line to take a shot over two guys. If Giannis is mad about that, well then go home, count your coins and take a break, because you ain't got nothing to be mad about, right? I mean, it's so early in the season. I don't expect anybody to run away with any number one seeds this year, but I'll tell you that the teams that are good, you're going to see the Bucks in the conference finals this year, and it's going to be against the Nets. And you're going to see the Lakers in the finals against one of those two teams. Bottom line, that's the way the NBA story is going to unfold this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm still interested to see what Doc can do with Philly, but as of right now, yeah, I agree with everything you said. The only where we differ is who's going to come out of that Nets-Bucks series.
Right.
That's it.
Well, the problem for the Bucks is they're not as good as they were last year. They're not.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think depth-wise especially, I don't think defensively they're as good with the second unit as they used to be last year with guys like Hill and Lopez. I mean, yeah. I think if you look at the differential with their bench this year, and I know it's early, but that's kind of what I see. I see a big-time lack of defense when Giannis and Brook Lopez are out of the game. I mean, I like Bobby Portis Jr. as a scorer, but he doesn't seem like he's really getting the job, especially done transitionally, getting back on defense.
That's fair. You might not have the depth, but I still think that Drew Holiday is an upgrade. Can we at least agree on that? He's an upgrade over Bledsoe.
Definitely.
But we
also lost Wesley Matthews. So you look at that as well, yeah. Right? So like we got that much. Yeah, but at the same time, that's the difference between Matthews getting 20 to 25 minutes and DiVincenzo coming off the bench and solidifying that second unit as opposed to being a starter right now.
But we had this argument back in the summertime because you talked about Milwaukee's depth, and I brought up the fact that when it comes playoff time, those benches get hella small, man. And most teams are only going 8, maybe 9 deep if they get in foul trouble.
Well, right now, a lot of teams are...
You know, the deeper you get to playoffs.
No, I understand. Right now, a lot of teams are playing 12 to 14 guys a game, which isn't crazy when you look at the box score. But definitely, I agree with you. When you get down to playoff time, if you ain't in there giving a positive contribution, you're not going to be in there for very long.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of guys go, you know, 12, 14, 15 deep this season because of the quick turnaround. So they're going to try to keep, you know, their main players as fresh as they possibly can. So this is going to be an interesting season, and there's a lot of interesting stories and a lot of things that I'm watching. It's funny. I think the Nets are my new team that I'm fascinated to watch. Every year, I have a team that is my favorite to watch. Last year, I was fascinated by Portland. The year before that, and I think 2 years before that, it was Philly. I think this year is the Nets. I'm just fascinated about what they got going on. Steve Nash, how great he's going to be as a coach, that remains to be seen. He did bring on Mike D'Antoni onto his staff, which was a hell of a pickup because D'Antoni is one of the best NBA minds of the last 30 years. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, but he's an innovator, and he's a good mind. Plus, he's a guy they got Harden now. He's a guy that, as far as I know, has a pretty good relationship with James Harden as well, so that's going to behoove them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Andrew, do you thoughts? Have
any thoughts?
Hey, I'm just happy that the Bulls are almost 500, 14 games into the season. They're 6-8. They put up a good fight. Zach LaVine looks really good.
Yeah. Very underrated player.
See, I can talk words about basketball. Boom. Boom. I do the score, the J, hit the boom, boom, 3-2-1, boom, free throw. Thank you.
Andrew's like, yeah, he passes the ball to the man, and boom goes the dynamite.
Boom, mic drop. I make a point. Yeah, I'm very much a person of my team. So, like, the Bulls haven't been relevant, really, so I kind of check out a little. But I agree that the Nets are interesting. Granted, I thought the Clippers were more interesting last year than Portland, but I've always loved Carmelo. I loved Carmelo when he was on the Nuggets, when he had Chauncey Billups as his point guard, and they actually have really good chemistry. And Chauncey doesn't get enough credit as a good facilitator and a great kind of fucking teammate. And, you know, Melo on the Blazers almost made a run. You know, Butler on the Heat, that was nice what they did last year, but I think they overshot what their real potential was. So I don't think it's going to be the quick turnaround. I think it's just they're going to get checked into where they belong. And they're like a second, third round kind of team in the East. I don't think they're really a finals contender. But, yeah, Bucks have been good. But for some reason, Giannis can't really pull it off, or he doesn't have the pieces around him to really pull off a game. Because no, I'm not trying to dog on your team because I know it's your team. But, like, it's just the last 2 years they were almost crowned before the playoff starts, and then they have a complete fucking meltdown. So if we assume they're going to have like some kind of breakdown again, the Nets have to be the team that picks up the slack in the East, because Boston, I don't know, they're inconsistent. And who really else? Philly's a fucking joke. Like, if Philly makes 8 or 7, I'll be impressed. But, like, Embiid...
Oh, no. Philly at least beat 3 or 4, man.
I don't know.
At like, the end of the... Yeah, like, they'll be at least 3.
I make the joke, but it's not too far off. Like, if Embiid had 40 tonight, he will have 8 tomorrow. Like, he is so hot and cold, it's not fucking funny. Like, unless he can figure out some consistency in his game, like, Philly is kind of like... They remind me of the Atlanta Hawks from a couple years ago, where one game they'll win by 20, and the next game they'll lose by 30. Like, it's just, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Well, that's going to happen this year, coming off of a very short offseason, et cetera, et cetera, kind of a compacted season where they're playing less games.
Couple of years, I understand.
Here, I want to backtrack real quick and finish it out like this, because, you know, I've said this before, and we talk about the Bucks and getting over the hump. It's been... trying to get over that loss to Toronto in the conference championship when you're up 2-0. It's trying to get over the fact that the team probably that benefits the most or in the top 5 in the NBA as far as having a crowd behind them is the Milwaukee Bucks, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't help them in the playoffs last year. And I'm not making excuses. I'm the first one to come out and tell you where the shortcomings are of this team. But Chris, did I not say that there's one thing they should have done instead of getting Jrue Holiday? I say you take whatever you need to take to package it up, and you send it to wherever you need to send it so that you can draft LaMelo Ball. Would LaMelo and Giannis not look really, really fucking good right now? I told y'all that kid was going to be good, and I think I was absolutely fucking right.
Well, I mean, Ray Charles could see that he was going to be good. He's blind and dead.
When I used to work for a parcel...
LaMelo was a mess when he went over to China the first time with the stealing and all that other crap. So, like...
No, that's the different brother. Different brother.
That's a different one?
That's LiAngelo.
Yeah, that's the middle brother. Yeah, that's the middle boy.
I thought they both had...
No, LiAngelo's the one that went to USC and then fucked up when they went over into Asia.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, really? Okay.
Yeah. So. And they've been saying it for years that the young boy, that was the one, and he's proven it thus far. He's an exciting game to watch, man. Hell, why else would I be watching Charlotte games, for God's sake?
Youngest ever for a triple-double, I believe.
Yeah. Plus the fact that he did play overseas for a couple of years, man. You know, it's the same reason guys like my man in Dallas or even a Ricky Rubio, why they can come into the league and have an immediate impact, because unlike the silly rules that they have over here, man, you can go overseas, man, 16, 17 years old, and you're playing against grown-ass men. So you're used to playing against grown men and playing professional basketball, and that behooves you, and it gives you kind of a leg up when you go to the NBA, especially this year, because he was, I'm assuming he was still able to play overseas, man, where a lot of these college kids that are coming in now, they haven't played organized basketball since, what, March, February, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was a little bit before the March Madness tournament that they kind of locked everything down. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, before the whole world went to hell. Mm-hmm. Andrew, any last basketball thoughts? Do you even know what basketball is? Can you touch the net still in your old age, in your advancing years?
He's tall enough to just touch it without jumping, I think.
I'd say that's the beauty of being like 6'4", is that I don't have to try to touch the net. So it's like, you know, Sean Bradley, she just put his hands up and he could dunk. It's that same kind of concept, so I'm happy about that.
I don't think I could get the rim right now.
I keep forgetting Andrew's the biggest melon farmer on this podcast, man. Like, there's no small guys on this podcast, but Andrew's like the biggest melon farmer on this podcast by a mile. It's not even close, man.
If the Bulls keep doing decent, I'm going to actually start paying a little more attention, because I wasn't sure about the LaVine trade when they did that a couple of years ago now? Because, I don't know, COVID's got me all fucked up on when they made that trade. But, like, I wasn't sure because he was just a dunk guy. He was flashy because he was like always finalist or won the dunk contest kind of thing, but he didn't really do anything else. So I didn't know really what his gimmick was. And like he's coming off as a really good team player. Everybody's really doing well around him, and he's putting up good fucking numbers. So like I'm not gonna argue about it. So if the Bulls stay relevant, I may be able to not mistake this for that movie from the late 90s basketball, because, you know, I thought you still got to make fun of people at the foul line. You had to round third, and then you could maybe do a pickoff play at shortstop before you could shoot the field goal. So like, I don't know, we'll see. So like, it's not basketball, it's basketball, so it's gonna be interesting. Maybe I'll pay more attention.
So shout out to NBA legend and former Laker Marquise Johnson. PC Tunney has up on the screen right now Marquise dunking a basketball on his 60th birthday. So I now have a new challenge. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to come up on my 40th birthday, and I'm going to attempt to see if I can still dunk a basketball.
Stretch first.
I'm going to stretch for like 3.5 hours.
Do some hot yoga or some shit like that. Man,
DDPY, baby.
There we go.
A lot
of icy hot.
I'm not going to have myself out here looking like an asshole. Now, this is the problem. It's a lot easier to dunk in an indoor arena as opposed to the hardwood, you know, on a playground or something like that. It's a lot easier that the indoor arenas are set up.
It's easier to dunk off of wood. Is what you're trying to say. Yes, you have the spring. Yeah, yes. You have a little bit of a spring there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. That's why I never liked
it. One of them itty bitty basketballs too, like at Chuck E. Cheese. Well, you win with so many tokens.
You're going to be
a regulation ball.
You going to dunk a golf ball?
I'm going to dunk a golf ball. Yes.
You can't palm a basketball anymore. What the fuck is your problem? You can't palm it?
I've never been able to palm it, man. I have little hands for my size. My hands are very small.
I was about to say, because like you just said, nobody here is short. So like that's, I thought you'd at least be able to palm the ball.
No, I can't palm a basketball. The only time I was able to palm a basketball was in my prime, when I used to walk around with those little grip things.
Oh,
and
I had
grip. Yeah, that was it. But just regular, no, I can't palm a basketball, man. My hands are too small.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Tony, can you palm a basketball? I don't know.
I haven't played basketball in 4 years. I retired from basketball when I was 35.
It's not like your hands retire and get smaller. Can you fucking palm a basketball, motherfucker?
I was getting there. I don't know anymore. Jesus, when I was
so
30,
tortoise against when, the air.
When I was 35, I could. Still. Yes.
You probably still can then. Your hands don't get smaller.
I don't know. I haven't done it. Tried to do it in 4 years.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, I get you.
It is a strength thing, though. It is a strength thing, though, unless you're like Shaq or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also space. You can jerry rig it with some spacing and just kind of.
You can. It depending on how big your hands are. Yes.
I had a buddy who one of my best friends growing up, he would pour soda on his hands before every basketball game.
Oh, so the ball would stick to his hands. That's actually sticky. Kind of smart.
Yep. Stick him. That's pretty clever. Yeah.
Never gave him one single high five during any game.
I wouldn't.
No, not at all. Not at all. That being said, Mr. Belaz, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you so we can get up out of here?
You can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief and on thechairshot.com covering Impact, because, you know, we covered that fairly in depth, and I don't scream as much when I type, so that helps. And, you know, New Japan, maybe a little bit of WWE, AEW pay-per-view if it pops up, depending. Just never ROH. We've been over this. Never fucking ROH. Fuck Ring of Honor.
Why?
So, yeah.
It's not good right now, but you don't have to fuck them.
Sports entertainment and sports and entertainment, or we're sports and entertainment. So the pause. Sports.
Like, I know you're smart. I know you're a smart guy.
You take a pause, and I do the pause while I pause while I'm sporting. Sports. Yeah. Entertaining. Yeah. Chair shot. Do anything.
Yes.
Anyway. Chris.
I think he said words there, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what those words were, but perhaps one of y'all can decipher them. Mr. Tunney, where can
if
they find you?
If you decipher it with the wonderful balls decoder ring, you will get a secret message, which will give you a wonderful prize at the end of the show.
Yeah, drink more Opal tea. Mr. Tunney, where can they find you?
And knowing is half the battle.
Now that we're done reliving a Christmas story... and yes, drink more Ovaltine, and it's delicious. It's chocolatey and also good. My name is PC Tunney. You can find me at PC Tunney right there on the Twitter. That should direct you everywhere you need to know. I want to appreciate and thank everybody that's been listening and tuning into everything on the Chairshot Radio Network, and especially the rebooted, revamped Chairshot Radio. I really do appreciate that. And hopefully more big things to come as we continue moving onward and upward at thechairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment, Andrew.
Everything Tony just
what?
Said.
I said the words. I said words.
The pause is close. The comma.
You can't. No, the pause makes me sound drunk.
It's like inflection. You know, sports.
Yeah, it's the pause.
Entertainment.
Exactly. The pause always gets me. It's framing me.
Not the fifth of yak. It's the pause, ladies and gentlemen, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, it's the pause. I fucking blame the pause. Let me blame the fucking pause. Stop it.
So you all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat. But more importantly, again, if you appreciate the content we provide day in and day out here at The Chair Shot, the best way to continue or make sure we continue to provide that content, I'm fucking this all the way up. Bottom line is, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. Again, I'm going to reiterate it because I fucked it up the first time. If you appreciate the content that we provide day in and day out here at The Chair Shot, the best way to make sure and continue that we continue to provide that content day in and day out that you love so much, because we know we are your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude, is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and spend $20 on a t-shirt. It's 20 fucking bucks, man. You spend $20 every day of your life. Why not spend $20 with us, man, to make sure we can get out here and keep doing what we do? Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Remember, thechairshot.com, we're not just a website, folks. We're a movement. For Warren G. Hardy, a.k.a. Andrew Belaz. For Bill Belichick, a.k.a. Mr. PC Tunney.
Really good show.
I'm Swiss Beats, a.k.a. Christopher Platt. Thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Pod is War. We'll be back next week, same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Strategically dipped. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.